Good morning, Radha Kala Chanji Dab, and all the assembled devotees in the universe, those that are seen and unseen, in this material world and in the spiritual world. On a frosty Tuesday morning, we're going to be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 12th chapter, text 16. And it's a continuation of an in-depth conversation between Uddhava and the Lord. But before we go any further into the scriptures, it's always good to get the mercy and the potency of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. And of course, the Dham deities, Radha Kala Chanji. I keep forgetting to ask each time I have an opportunity to come before them, and my guru, how will you purify me? So I come in the most humble position possible, hoping to extend or share some knowledge so that it will help someone to further understand this Krishna conscious movement and to understand Krishna. But then again, we know that even the demigods have difficulty understanding Krishna. So what to say of these spirit souls that have taken it upon themselves to come back to the material world because we were so full of ourselves. So, before we start, we'll sing the Radha Madhava prayers. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari 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 Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Natira Vanacha Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan Shoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe Radha Kala Chanji Radha Kala Chanji Radhe
Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol, Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I guess when the weather changes like this, most of us, our bodies go through different challenges, so I have to apologize. Mine is surely going through a temporary one. Before we read text 16, we will have our prayer for understanding, also for potency. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnana Timarandasya Gananjanan Shalakaya Chakshunilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha. As though in the darkest of ignorance, my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. My most respectful and humble obeisances to my spiritual master. Text 16. Shri Uddhava Yuvacha Samsaya Srinvato Vacham Tava Yogeshwara Swara Na nirvartata atmasto yena brahmyati me manaha. Shri Uddhava yuvacha samsaya srinvato facham tava yogeshwer swara na vartata atmasto yena brahmyati me manaha. Shri Uddhava yuvacha samsaya srinvato facham Tava yogeshwara swara na nirvatata atmasto yena brahmyati me manaha. Shri Uddhava yuvacha samshayo srinvato vacham tava yogeshwara swara Narnivatato atmasto yena brahmyati me manaha. Shri Uddhava yuvacha samsayo srinvato vacham tava yogeshwa swara Na nirvatato atmasto yena brahmyati me manaha. Shri Uddhava yuvacha. Shri Uddhava said, samsaya, doubt, srinvataha, of the one who is hearing, vacham, the words, tava, your, yogeshwara, of the lords of mystic power, iswara,
You who are the Lord, Nanirvartate, will not go away. Atma, in the heart, sta, situated, yena, by which, brahmyati, is bewildered, me, my, manaha, mine. So the translation, again, of course, is Sri Uddhava and the Lord. And Sri Uddhava said, O Lord of all masters of mystic power, I have heard your words, but the doubt in my heart does not go away. Thus my mind is bewildered. So we'll repeat. Sri Uddhava said, O Lord of all masters of mystic power, I have heard your words, but the doubt in my heart does not go away. Thus my mind is bewildered. Purport. In the first verse of the 10th chapter of this canto, the Lord stated that one should take shelter of him and execute one's duties within the Varnashram system without material desire. Uddhava interpreted the statement as recommending Karma Mishra Bhakti, or devotional service mixed with a tendency toward fruitive activities. It is a fact that until one understands Lord Krishna to be everything, it is not possible to retire from ordinary worldly duties. Rather, one is encouraged to offer the fruits of such work to the Lord. In verse 4 of the 10th chapter, the Lord recommended that one retire from worldly duties and systematically cultivate knowledge, accepting him as the Supreme. Uddhava understood this instruction to indicate jnana misra bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord mixed with the secondary desire to accumulate knowledge. Beginning with verse 35 of the 10th chapter, Uddhava inquired about the process of material conditioning and liberation from material life. The Lord replied elaborately, stating that without devotional service, the process of philosophical speculation can never be perfected. In chapter 11, verse 18, the Lord emphasized the importance of faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in verse 23, Krishna extensively widened his discussion of devotional service, emphasizing that one should be faithful and hear and chant the glories of the Lord. The Lord concluded that both the development and perfection of devotional service depend on association with the devotees. In verse 26 of the 11th chapter, Uddhava inquired about the actual ways and means of devotional service and about the symptoms of devotional perfection. And in verse 48, Lord Krishna stated that unless one takes to the process of devotional service, one's attempt for liberation will be useless. One must associate with the devotees of the Lord and follow in their footsteps. Finally, in verse 14 of this chapter, the Lord categorically rejected the paths of fruitive activities and mental speculation, and in verse 15, recommended that one exclusively surrender unto him with all one's heart. Having received such elaborate and technical instructions on the perfection of life, Uddhava is bewildered, and his mind is afflicted with doubt about what he should actually do. Lord Krishna has described many procedures and the results of such procedures, all of which ultimately lead to the single goal of Lord Krishna himself. Uddhava therefore desires that Lord Krishna state in simple terms what should be done. Arjuna makes a similar request of the Lord at the beginning of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Uddhava is stating here, "My dear friend Krishna, first you recommended that I perform worldly activities within the Vanashram system. And then you advise that I reject such activities and take to the path of philosophical research. Now, rejecting the path of Jnana, you recommend that I simply surrender unto you in bhakti yoga. If I accept your decision, in the future you may again go back to your original point and recommend worldly activities." By his boldness in disclosing his mind, Uddhava reveals his intimate relationship with Lord Krishna. I found this to be interesting because it reminded me of a statement that I believe someone made of Srila Prabhupada, that if you can't do that, do this. If you can't do this, do this. And if you can't do this, do this. But all of those recommendations were ultimately leading to the path of Krishna. Then I thought, how do you make it relative to 2017? How do you explain it so that it steps beyond the pages, but still retains the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam? And I thought about a parent and a child, and then I thought about myself coming to Krishna consciousness again in this life, because I'm sure, fairly certain, that I've come across Krishna consciousness in a previous life. So I remember the instructions that I was given when I first came to a temple. And mind you, were they reading from the Bhagavad Gita? No, it was a Sunday class. And I believe actually they were reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. So the explanation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, was quite in depth for someone that was coming to Krishna consciousness. And I vaguely understood it. And I remember having some conversations with the devotees during prasadam time. And one of the senior members of the temple came up. And I guess they picked up the hint that, you know, some of this information new people are struggling with. And I remember them saying, how exactly did they put it? Oh, I remember now. It was something that I understood that I could handle at the time. And the point was, just offer what you're doing. Offer everything that you're doing to the Lord. I could do that. And then I thought, how do you teach a child that's understanding the basics? You give them a little instruction to establish a foundation, and then you gradually, based on that child's knowledge, give them what they need when they're ready for that next step. So that's kind of what I'm looking at here and understanding here, because initially, Uddhava is
encourage to offer the fruits of activity, his activities to the Lord, as I was saying. Offer what you're doing to the Lord. And then it turns it back around, and the Lord gives the instructions of Gnana Nidra. How does the Lord give it? In the first, fourth, the 10th chapter, the Lord recommends that one retire from worldly duties and systematically cultivate knowledge, accepting him as the supreme. That also came up as another step in my process of growing to understand Krishna consciousness, because ultimately the point this devotee made was eventually you'll want to give up the lifestyle that you have and you'll take to Krishna consciousness. And each time they're giving me something different. I guess at one point I was taking so much in that it was somewhat overwhelming. And I'm going to go off track for a minute, because at that point I was trying to rationalize things based on my limited knowledge in this lifetime of taking to Krishna consciousness again. And I remember being so frustrated, I walked out of the temple. It was a warm day, and I walked to a new member of the temple who was just as new as I was, and I was trying to explain, this is so overwhelming to me, I can't take it, I can't understand it. And I guess they were having an off day, so they didn't help at all. So I remember getting in my car and going home, and the saving grace was my brother-in-law, Pandudas. He's like the spiritual brother that came to me after, when the Lord decided that I should have a spiritual brother. But he understood that something had gone wrong because I wasn't at the temple, and he took the time, because they're family members, to find out what happened and why'd you leave the temple. And I think about that moment, because I could have completely walked away from the temple based on the information I was given, being that it was so overwhelming and I was so overpatient. I was impatient to find the meaning of it. But he took the time to explain what was going on. And that's why when a parent is raising a child, you only give the child what they need at that particular time, and when they're ready, you give them a little more. But the scriptures are set up so that eventually you're going to get it no matter what. If you stick to it and you hang in there, you'll get it eventually. So it's kind of like the parent telling the child, you know, to pick up the toy. You know, you're a really good child. You're picking up the toy. The parent praises the child. Child gets a hang of it. Then as the child gradually grows, the parent explains to the child, well, now if you want a room of your own, you've got to make this a habit, so that you keep your room nice and clean. This is a very basic example, but it's an example of giving one what they can handle when they're able to handle it. And that includes the instructions in the scriptures. Now, the understanding is that one should definitely take to devotional service. And it goes on, it says you should take to devotional service, hearing the glories of the Lord, which means that you should be listening to someone who knows what they're talking about, who is doing what is in the scriptures. We have excellent examples of instructors that we can imitate, or not imitate, but follow in the footsteps of. That also goes to the understanding that one should take the instruction of a teacher. And it should be the teacher eventually. That also leads to that repetition of taking to a guru. But that's somewhere down the line. But as one goes on, then the instructions here with Uddhava and the Lord, is that the Lord brings up taking to devotional service, and he brings in that really important point. And I don't know if we can overdo the point, and I may be guilty of it each time I come up here, and I apologize, but it's in the scriptures. He tells them to take to devotional service, and in order to perfect his the development of devotional service, he should depend on the association with the devotees. There we have it again, how important it is that one develop proper association with devotees. Now, understand, this is what I'm feeling getting from this. Still trying to maintain the essence. But devotional service is important in the association of devotees. It's similar to you are what you eat, you are who you associate with, you are the company that you keep. Devotees are on a more positive spin. Now, don't get me wrong. Devotees can have off days, devotees can have bad days, but keep the essence of that devotee or that devotee association. Even if you feel that you've met a devotee and maybe they aren't exactly saying the things that should be said or they're interpreting them a different way, that really is no excuse for us to follow an incorrect path or a partial path. All the scriptures, all the lessons in life are included in the scriptures. Srila Prabhupada left an excellent example. He followed the instructions of his guru, who followed the instructions of his guru, the Parampara system. We have been left with such perfect instructions that no matter what you may, and I'm not saying you're going to hear things incorrectly, but if I misquote something, that goes to the importance of your reading too. It's important to take to the scriptures and read. Even if someone is not doing something properly, the instructions of the proper actions are here in the scriptures. I remember my Guru Dave, and not just because he was my guru, but he led a pretty exemplary path in devotional service. So it wasn't difficult it is still difficult to follow in his footsteps. He had patience beyond Job, compassion, love, understanding. We are given instructions, we are given teachers, and it's very important to find that right devotee, that right teacher. Everyone is going to have different needs. So I guess the point that I'm trying to make is everything is here in the scriptures. How do you find the right devotee or the right association? Look to see who's duplicating what's in the scriptures, if they're following the path of those that have come before them. You know, these are just basic instructions, and maybe kids use these instructions too when they're listening to the parents and developing who they are. They look at maybe Big Brother, Big Sister, and what they're doing, and hopefully what they're doing is positive, so they follow. But getting back to Uddhava and the Lord and the conversation, the Lord stresses again how important it is, devotional service, and it being done in the association of devotees. And as I said, you are what you eat, you are who you associate with. It's like going into a room, and I know this is an extreme one, but sometimes I go extreme just to make a point. But it's like being in a room full of people that are smoking or drinking. If you're there long enough, you're going to pick up the scent. I can't think of a better scent to pick up than that of a devotee that's following the instructions of their guru. Krishna goes on again. And in spite of everything that he's told Uddhava, he's telling Uddhava here, what is the last portion? Okay. Uddhava's received these elaborate and technical instructions from the Lord. The Lord's described many procedures and results and processes. And then the Lord tells Uddhava, in essence, just forget all these other things that I recommend that you simply surrender and follow. Just surrender unto me, unto the path of bhakti. Forget about these, what is it they're called? These rituals, doing this, the mental speculation, and even to the point of devotional service. Just follow me. Just surrender unto me. And what I'm getting here, and hopefully not losing you in the process, is that what the Lord is saying is that all these steps that are mentioned will eventually lead to him. Now, everyone, we can't all follow the same instructions. That's because we're all individual. My guru can give me a particular instruction, and it's perfect for me, but it's imperfect for my God brother, because that's not my God brother or God sister's makeup. We all have different instructions, but the point is, if we're not able to follow the gamut of doing, let's say, for example, 16 rounds at one time, do one round. Just start with one round. The Lord will help you and get you to the point where you're doing eventually 16 rounds. Reading used to be a challenge for me, big challenge. And I remember the instruction being given, well, if you can't read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam chapter or a particular chapter or text, read one line. The point that I'm trying to make here, and I'm probably giving you too many points, is that if you can't start out doing everything that you're supposed to do, reading, chanting, having proper devotional service, start out with one of them and follow it, even if you're following it a little bit. Just like having faith as small as a mustard seed, if you do one round, eventually you'll get accustomed to that and you'll do the next round, then the next. And the more you are surrendering to the Lord, and the more you're having faith in the process, because eventually you will have faith in the process, you will come to the lotus feet of the Lord. The point is, don't give up. You will be challenged. Anytime you are off the path of nonsense, Maya is really going to test you, because not everyone can come to Krishna. There are some people that will probably eternally be on earth, lifetime after lifetime, because they enjoy the process. Even though it's followed with birth, death, old age, and disease, there are some people that are just going to be content no matter how hellish it is. The point is, you don't have to be one of them. We don't have to be one of them. We've been given different options, and you follow what fits you. But make sure you keep the essence of what's in the scriptures. The other point that I found interesting is that when we started, well, the previous chapter was also indicating to Sri Uddhava, if you don't do this, don't do that, just follow me, just surrender unto me. Uddhava is being given instructions from the most perfect teacher, and he doesn't get it. So what to say of us getting instructions from guru, from a sincere devotee, It's okay if you don't understand it the first time, but the point is, don't give up. The point is, ask questions. The worst question that you can ever ask is the one that you don't ask. There is nothing wrong with questioning the process of devotional service, of questioning the scriptures. No one should follow anything blindly. As a matter of fact, that's what impressed me about most of the sannyasis. They welcome questions. You should have them. It's healthy. That way you can come to understand better. But getting back to Uddhava, it's just interesting that he has the most perfect teacher, and he's at the point, well, Lord, you've given me, you've told me this, you're the master of all this, of mystic powers, but still my mind is bewildered. So what that tells me is that there may be times when you do not understand something. That's also the importance of coming to class. Morning classes, Sunday classes. That's why it's important to hear, have the opportunity to hear different gurus, to hear the instructions. It's extremely important. You don't just come for the association of somebody that's in the... Well, sometimes people start off with that. It's really nice to be here. This devotee's really nice. I think I'm coming back. The prasadam's great. It is. Those things do exist. But the point is, you must keep coming back until you understand. And as I said, you will be challenged because not everybody gets a chance to actually take shelter sincerely. Let me backtrack on that one. Backtrack a little bit. Krishna has no favorites, which means that the opportunity exists for everyone, but everyone will not take shelter. And when I was saying that Maya will test you, you will be tested to see how sincere you are for the relationship that you want to have with Krishna to understand him more. Because you can't bring nonsense to Krishna. So actually, Maya is a very good agent. Maya kind of sifts through the nonsense, the muck and the mire, to see who gets to Krishna. So don't be surprised if your challenges increase as you come to Krishna consciousness. That's a good thing, because it means that in the process you're going through a little cleansing or a little purification. So I'm going to wind this up, because at this point Sri Uddhava has stressed to the Lord he is still bewildered. And what we'll find in the next section is how the Lord explains to Uddhava, how he takes him out of his bewilderment, and how he helps him to understand that there are some processes that you may be able to take to, but if you can't do that, try this process. And just because we can't do a particular, or we don't do a particular process the way someone else does it, don't compare yourself. Everyone has their own particular relationship with the Lord, and everyone has their particular challenge that they need to go through. And all the challenges are going to be different because we are all different. So my point is, don't be discouraged. Even if things don't seem to be progressing rapidly, who knows what you did in a previous life? Who knows what you went through in a previous life? Your only comparison is with yourself. You are as good as your last performance, not someone else's. But I found this to be interesting, because that is the first thing that I was told when I came to Krishna consciousness. You know, don't get so hung up on, at this stage, perfection, because you're coming back and you're picking up from where you left off in a previous life. And yes, there are some things that you may have forgotten, but just do this. and just have a little faith, because even if you just do this, this will eventually lead you to Krishna. I believe that particular factor is what kept me in. That's what kept me coming back to that temple some 20-odd years ago. Because initially it was information overload. It was too much. But then I was going through quite a bit at the time, so it was no reflection on anyone in particular except myself. But the point I'm making is I almost walked away from Krishna consciousness. And I thank the Lord that I didn't, because I can't even imagine where I would be right now. I look at people around me. I look at all the things that I've gone through to get to this point. They've been challenging, but if I had to go through them again, I would. Because the point at which I am right now says, whatever it took to get you to this point, it was worth it. Not that I'm at a point of perfection, but I'm at a point now where I can appreciate the association of devotees, where it's just like nectar. It's just very sweet. It's just very blissful. Not that I am immune to what's going on out in the world. That's not my world. It's not that I'm saying it doesn't exist. But with Krishna consciousness, you understand a way to work around any of the issues that are going on in the outer world, in your own personal world. You've been given instructions on how to have the most peaceful life on earth, but with the understanding there is a much better one. But you're not trying to race to it. You're here to resolve whatever issues that you brought from a previous life, and then it will be time to move on. But even in the process, you can find a little bliss on earth if you just hang in there long enough. Let me see how I am on the... Oh, okay, I'm good. That is what, those are some of the thoughts that I had on text 16 and the conversation that Uddhava is having with the Lord. And again, it's not saying don't respond to or don't participate in any of the various rituals. They have their purpose. They all have their purpose. The other part was philosophical speculation. Eventually, that will run its course, and then you'll really understand that it's all beyond even that. Because as I said, even the demigods cannot understand what Krishna or who Krishna is and what he's about. So I'm going to end at this point. Let me make sure I've covered everything. Yeah, I think I have. But again, as Uddhava says, O Lord of all masters of mystic power, I've heard your words, but the doubt in my heart does not go away. Thus my mind is bewildered. And the last point I want to make is that it is totally okay to say you don't understand something to the Lord. We should have our own personal relationships with the Lord. They don't have to be fancy conversations. Sometimes just saying, Lord, help me, or Lord, why is this happening? I mean, I have some really interesting conversations with the Lord. It's like, are you kidding me? Really? Are you doing this? But this is me and the Lord. This is our relationship. And we enter, and the interaction is very sweet. It's very nice. And it can be very personal. But you have to find your own personal level of association with the Lord. Just don't forget he's the Lord. And don't think that you're on the same level that he is. Or that, as one of the members mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that you're Radharani. You're not Radharani. We have to understand what our relationship is with the Lord. And it may take some of us a year, it may take some of us 20 years, 30 years. But whenever you find out what it is, it will be worth everything that you've gone through. And as I sometimes stress many times, don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever give up Krishna consciousness. If you ever get to the point where you think you're going to, please see one of the devotees or talk to us. Narottam's an excellent person to talk to. Excellent. There are other devotees here in the temple that, you know, we can talk to and discuss these issues, because you'll have challenges, but don't ever give up. This is worth anything that you could possibly go through. So I'll end at this point. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions? Any comments? Yes, Narottam Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thanks again, Maharaji, for another introspective and wonderful class. Hey, this is my... I have a few questions, but one of my questions has to do with people who explore Krishna consciousness but think it's not for them. It's, you know, something from an ancient, you know, society, and, you know, and, you know, that they're kind of put off by, what should I say, the cultural accoutrements. Like, for example, we have now a movement called Krishna West, and His Holiness Sri Dayananda Maharaj is advocating this. So the basic idea is that, you know, what's wrong with being a Westerner in Krishna consciousness? You know, in other words, stay within your comfort zone. If you're more comfortable wearing your, you know, jeans than wearing a sari, just wear your jeans. You know, but my question has to do with, there seems to be a certain point where people don't see the benefit of all of this, and rather they pursue sense gratification, or, you know, just a more modern identity. You know, in you know, as opposed to us here in dhotis and saris and in the temple, as you can see,
sure,
by the participation. Sure. But so that's one of my questions. One of my questions is, you know, many people, not just a few, many people come, and they feel that this is not applicable. It's outdated. It's not for them. Even, you know, we get huge quantities of Indian clothing dropped off here, donated here, because even Indian women are just like getting rid of it. You know, it's just part of the past. So, you know, you touched on it a little bit in class, but I was wondering if you could offer any, you know, help.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is, appearance-wise, as far as that being outdated, or the philosophy also, which one are you stressing?
Everything. You know, they'll dabble, you know, a little bit with everything and think, well, you know, yeah, you know, I don't really like the kirtan. I'd rather go to a nightclub. I don't really like wearing a sari. I'd rather wear my jeans. This philosophy is something from 5,000 years ago. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to my friends and I, you know. So, you know, in other words, we have people coming, and this opportunity is being awarded to them, but they're not connecting to it. And their reasons are that it's outdated, it's a different culture, it's just, you know, they don't seem to be able to relate or connect to it. So I'm asking, you know, what would you recommend?
Okay. Not to minimize anything you've said, because those are important points, but I'm just remembering what Srila Prabhupada said, that be surprised not so much by those that leave, but by those that stay, those that understand. But as far as the philosophy end of it being obsolete, being some fantasy, it sounds like we need, as devotees, to step up our game so that even though what's in the scriptures, there is pure essence. There is so much in the scriptures. We need to find and explore different ways to share it with other people, to relate. Because sometimes I know that when I heard initially from the scriptures, it was foreign to me. It's like, what? What does that mean? So at that point, I needed someone to break it down for me. Break it down for me. Let me understand. You have no idea where I've come from, so don't assume that just because you understand it, I understand it. We need to find different ways to relate to people based on where they are. That's our responsibility. Now, whether they take to it or not is a different story because we can't control. We can only do the best we can in explaining the essence of the scriptures.
Simplifying things, writing down, speaking down. Mm. You think that's an easier way for
you
people to connect? Here's a journalist, a professional writer right here. She's raising her hand. Maybe she has some comment.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did I say, I didn't mean speaking down either.
Oh, no, Haribo. Haribo.
Yes, Haribo.
That was such a great class. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for being here. Yeah. Please share.
So I definitely agree with you that if we're just more sincere and caring about everyone, mm-hmm. no matter how they identify, whether it's a race, class, religion, or spirituality, then we can sort of bypass focusing on the symptoms of something that's a deeper problem, because clothing is superficial.
True.
And sure, anyone can wear what they want, become Krishna conscious.
True.
And so if we focus more on the individual, we value the person no matter what they wear, and there's less conflict, and you can focus on the heart of the person and really people rather than outward appearance or the body or the mind or their intelligence, and you care about their whole experience, and then you really, really get excited about talking about things that may seem very simple to you because this person is unique.
Yes.
And you get to talk about it in a new way, and you get to see how much they know, and then you really care about what they know because they know something that you don't. Because that's why Krishna sent them to you in the first place, because we all have to learn from each other. And then as far as the different movements, everyone is sincerely trying to serve Srila Prabhupada. And it's more about cooperation and getting excited about how Krishna is the one directing the whole thing. And we don't know what Krishna is, how he's going to act, and how through other people. And so as long as we just sincerely think that everyone's trying their best and then have fun with the differences and the challenges and see the philosophy as something that's really difficult, and it's fun to have challenges and even, you know, like Krishna and Balaram wrestle all the time. And so we can have fun with that and be creative, and I think that more people will be attracted because it'll seem like we're balancing an external and internal, exoteric and esoteric thing rather than fighting it all the time. And it'll be more simple.
Good point. Very good point. You're right about that. The clothes do not make... In addition, the clothes do not make the person. You can dress anybody up in a suit, but that does not make them a gentleman or lady. But... You're right. To celebrate the differences and then to share in those differences and to relate it to what we know. Because you're right. Ultimately, Krishna is orchestrating all of this. Now, how we handle it is completely up to us. Totally. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Were you saying something?
I was just going to add to the points that were being made. I remember stories about how Prabhupada and other devotees would deal with people who were slower in taking to Krishna consciousness more fully.
Mm-hmm.
How one of the things that they did that made it a lot easier was they capitalized on the things that they were attracted to by focusing more on their nature and where they were at. It was like you said, you know, all of the things that may not be advanced, but also matter are very important.
Mm-hmm.
People come for prasadam, people come for association, people come for whatever reason.
Right.
Like, and they would capitalize on those things
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because that would keep them attracted and that would help them develop more attachment to opening up to the process.
Yes.
And that makes it a lot easier too, because I know when I first came, I wasn't, you know, ready to just jump all in and get involved in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, as I stayed coming, and it a lot of things started to grow on me. I started to understand things more. I started to shift my perspective, and it now I want to get involved as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. So what attracted you initially when you came to the temple or to Krishna consciousness?
Krishna, my best friend, he explained Krishna in a way that really allowed me to connect with him and feel his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, that made me become a vegetarian and do all of these other things that other people noticed
mm-hmm.
that directed me here.
Mm.
And then it just kept gradually going like that. I would meet different people. I would try to understand things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, you know, take everything up right away initially, but I would always, I was always, you know, desiring to do more so that I could please Krishna. And then eventually I started taking more things up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point. And with Narottam Prabhu, when you mentioned Krishna West, because I remember just recently hearing about them, because I wasn't aware of it. And I'm thinking, is it more geared toward the Western style of living or dressing? Because I got impression that it was also the dress. But then I've got to tell you, based on the spiritual master that I selected, he was relating to things that my spiritual master did. I mean, my guru, instead of going around with a little sika, I remember I never could quite get that joke together, but I know that at one point he walked into a place and he didn't have an afro, and then the next moment he had an afro. I mean, they were wearing afro wigs just so that people could relate to them and not think they were strange. And what that told me was that he was adjusting the message to the person. And that is what we have to do sometimes. We have to adjust the message to the person, like Raven was saying, where they're coming from. You've got to know we're all coming from different spaces and places. And like you were saying, you hone in on whatever it is that's attracting them. You can't just, with some people, you can take the Bhagavad Gita out and just start reading it and they connect automatically, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, they connect automatically. Not everyone is so fortunate. There are times, and it is our responsibility as devotees, when we get a grip on this, when we get a handle on this and understand it, for those that maybe understanding it isn't so easy, we need to also learn how to break it down. And maybe, I don't know if break it down is a good example, but we need to explain it in such a way that people can relate to it. And again, it goes to time, place, and circumstance. Different things go on in each millennium. Different things go on over the years. And sometimes things require an adjustment. So that's what I'm thinking when Naritam mentioned that. That's what I'm thinking about. So the responsibility falls on the devotee in the process to explain to those that don't easily grip the technical and the esoteric information here. It's our responsibility that if we are fortunate enough to understand a little bit, explain that little bit. Krishna will see in your heart that you're sincere and you're trying to connect with someone and you're trying to explain. Krishna loves it. Srila Prabhupada loves that. You will get whatever benefit or whatever mercy, whatever potency you need to take it even further. Again, it goes back to having a little bit of desire to follow the scriptures, to understand. What is that old saying? There's an old Christian saying in the Bible, you take one step, the Lord will take two. And it, yes, and it is still true. It is still true. Sometimes you take one step and Krishna will take 50, 100. Many more, you're overwhelmed with the mercy. We should be at a point where we're constantly overwhelmed because Krishna will do that. As I said, Krishna has no favorites. He doesn't just pick this person, oh, because they're from this country, or this person because they look nice, or that person because they understand. Krishna has no favorites. You serve Krishna, Krishna serves you. That's not favoritism, that's just reciprocity. But it goes beyond that. So we're very fortunate if we can understand a little bit of this. And even if you don't understand everything, we're surrounded by senior members that can compassionately and lovingly explain whatever it is we need to understand. Sometimes the information from the seniors may hit you upside the head. I remember when I first came, the devotees were more in a mood of negativity. It's like, oh, we're waiting to leave our bodies and Krishna has his foot on our neck. It's like, I don't want this. I don't want anybody with their foot on my neck and you're just waiting to die. And I remember asking Bhakti Tirtha, why are these people so negative? And he said, you know, you've got to understand where they're coming from. And this is how they're relating to Krishna consciousness. And it does not mean that this is how you relate, but everyone is different and everyone is at different levels. And we don't necessarily all have to be at the same level at the same time. It's rare. So, as I said, I hung in there, and I was fortunate enough to have a brother to pull me back and explain it, because I hang on for dear life to the lotus feet of Guru in Krishna, because that's my salvation. Yes, Naritam Prabhu. By all means. I'm sure you have something to add to this.
Thank you so much for the nice class. I was just going to say that, you know, Prabhupada would definitely make adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance as far as who he's preaching to and what the time was. But at the same time, you can say that clothes don't really, you know, it doesn't matter what you wear, but when you're coming in a dhoti and you're coming to the temple, you have to admit that that affects your consciousness. You feel more spiritual when you're in spiritual clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing with the, to me, with the Krishna West thing is that I agree to a certain degree.
Yes.
But you have to be very careful. How far do you push this thing?
Yes, you do.
Do you all of a sudden say, okay, well, maybe it doesn't matter, you know, these Ekadashis. You know what? Ekadashis, they're outdated, so let's don't follow Ekadashi. Okay, then we don't have to follow all the four regular principles. You know, how far does it go?
Yes,
that's the thing. That's the danger of it,
yes,
I see.
Yes, you do.
So you have to be very careful with that. So.
You do.
Anyway, I just wanted to make that clear.
You do, Prabhu. That is a very good point. You've got to know when to reel it in.
Yeah.
Because it can get out of hand.
Right.
which is why it is very important when we're discussing these things, you know, and the fact that we have a GBC, run it by the GBC.
Yes. Prabhupada said the GBC is his body, so, you know, we have to follow there.
You're right. There are certain things that are necessary for understanding Krishna.
I mean, if you're going out to preach to, you know, a program of non-devotees, then, yeah, you can dress in your regular clothes so, you know, so that they can identify with you more. But I think when you come to the temple and you're coming to a temple program, you know, you have to admit that wearing these type of clothes, it definitely affects your consciousness to a certain degree.
Sure.
So,
and you're right. When you're going out, and you're going to maybe a different group that's not so comfortable with anyone that dresses differently, you have to kind of dress the way they dress in order for them to understand
just like
you or hear you.
Spiritual master with his afro.
You do. You do, Prabhu. That's a very good point. And the other point, too, is how far do you take it? You've got to be careful.
You do.
Yes. You do. Thank you.
Yes, yes, please.
I definitely think that that in relating to spreading Krishna consciousness, that it's all about translating to people about choice. Because some people don't understand how to become a devotee and do exactly what Prabhu just said. They don't understand the difference between being on the altar, being in the temple, being with themselves, how to be with Krishna, how to be with devotees. They don't understand the basics of the dynamics of the interpersonal relationships and the psychology of what it means to be navigating the different boundaries of matter and nature. And so we have to distinguish between ourselves and others through Shastra and not just think of a dualistic karmi and devotee type thinking, because that creates blocks in our mind. And so the funnest thing is to show people who we are as individuals and why we are devotees and why I wear a dhoti, why I don't sometimes, why, who am I on the altar, what am I doing on the altar, what am I, just making it, it's attractive, it's extremely attractive. And the culture coming from the region where Krishna was appearing is extremely important in relating it to the current culture of the West. And if we don't just explain it as much as we can, we sort of hit a wall, and people just can't relate. They can't understand why they should want to, because they feel like they don't have a choice because it's so attractive. So how do we show people that they have a choice to be who they really are? And then they'll be devotees.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So as devotees, what do you think our steps should be as far as letting people know who we are and what we're about. Because as you're saying, it sounds like we've got some work to do. We've really got some work to do, because more people should be we shouldn't be such a mystery to people. And there are certain things that go on in Krishna consciousness and in the temple. And there's certain ways that you behave or dress or do things that are totally foreign to some people, and it may not attract them, but they need to understand why this is important. We need to be explaining a lot more. We really, really do.
That there's different levels, and that each level is Krishna conscious.
Yes.
And that, because if everyone's technically a devotee, how are they non-devotees?
And they
That's the conundrum.
And they are.
That's
Everyone
the conundrum. And so it's, to me, the duality is only for the mind to distinguish how to really pierce the veil of what someone's covered with. And that's just to get them to see what their likes and dislikes are, to where their mind is not so confused as to what to grab while they're covered, as to what to go for.
Sure.
And so everyone's attracted to Krishna already. what is it that they're attracted to Krishna about? You know, devotee's first step is to just completely thank Prabhupada for doing all the work already.
Goodness, yes.
And we don't have to do so much hard manual labor as far as spreading it at this point, because it's already out there and it's taken over the world.
Yeah.
We haven't celebrated. We haven't begun to celebrate. We haven't begun to really go out into the streets.
Mm.
On Gaur Purnima, I did a kirtan performance with my band Mystics at Holi Festival, and there was a couple thousand people were kind of tuned into that. And I wasn't qualified. I just was completely going off of my faith.
Right.
I wasn't ready.
That. Yeah.
And so, but I came back to the temple, and I was just overwhelmed by also being here and having that sort of dual sense of Sankirtan, where Sankirtan here, we've been practicing it around the corner for a very, very long time of going around the corner, the circumambulation. And it just all fell down on my head as, like, it is so urgent to be in front of thousands of people with this.
Yeah, it is.
And that we can. And that it's all been, like, done for us already.
It has.
And that we should just sort of, like, it's like the tradition of, you know, of our tradition is golden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going down in history for the rest of eternity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to, we protect it. Our, you know, Krishna protects it. And I see the temple as the mind of Krishna, to where we can come and see him and he can see us.
Mm.
And so there's many other parts of Krishna all over the world that we have, like his whole body is here. And, you know, the hearts, you know, I see Krishna in the hearts of everyone. And that's the most important part.
It is. Very good point. So so anyone else have any suggestions on how to get out there? I mean, Raven was out there in front of 1,000 people, you know, doing her thing, Krishna conscious-wise. What else can we do? Within the limitation, we all have our own individual limitations. I understand that. And everyone can't do a Raven. But we can do something. What are some of the ideas that we should be coming up with? Because Srila Prabhupada did lay the foundation. It's there. All we have to do is bounce off of it and just grab a hold to people and just share and explain, depending on whatever level that they are. It's not difficult to do. And it takes one person. And then the next person, and then the next person, and then it will spread. Actually, our movement is supposed to go down in history as the one that saves the world. And there is no reason why it cannot happen. None whatsoever. So does anyone have anything to add to this? I mean, that's very profound.
I was thinking our greatest strength is just in trying to please Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Srila Prabhupada gave so many instructions, and then since we brought up Krishna West, I don't like the mood that Prabhupada has to be censored, or that Prabhupada didn't know how to talk, or Prabhupada didn't know how to preach, like, and that there's something better than following Prabhupada.
Is that what that mood is about? Is that what that's about?
I get that. You know, like, for instance, Prabhupada said that in all of ISKCON's restaurants, we should serve first-class samosas cooked in ghee.
Mm-hmm.
But then we say, oh, we can't, we have to be vegan because the vegans have to become devotees. So we can't cook in ghee because the vegans won't eat it, so we have to all be vegan. And in this way, I find that people say, well, you know, we can't follow Prabhupada's instructions because they won't work. But Prabhupada, you know, in 10 years, he opened up over 108 Hare Krishna temples,
mm-hmm.
Initiated 4,897 disciples in 10-year period, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and clearly established himself as the founder Acharya.
Mm.
And he left behind a whole slew of instructions.
Yes, he did.
You know, like piles of them. There's a Shikshamrita that's 3 volumes long of 400 pages each, and just nothing but instructions from Srila Prabhupada. And I feel like that we can be successful, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai, you know, by explicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all this,
right, I don't really
everything's know. Revealed.
Exactly.
And to, you know, like to not wear a tilak or, you know, to dress up as like a demon, you think that, oh, they're going to like us and become devotees. But it's not necessarily true. I mean, we act, there's such thing as interjecting Krishna consciousness into society. And that's what Prabhupada, that was his attitude. He wasn't into, we'll just look like everybody else and they'll like us and then become the pure devotees. He had a different plan. He went out boldly and brought a culture into America and taught people how to wear tilak and dhotis and to come to the standard of Lord Chaitanya. So that's what I was thinking, that our success is in fulfilling the orders of Prabhupada and pleasing him.
And see, as I said, I didn't really hear about this the Krishna West until he came here, and unfortunately, I was not able to attend any of the sessions that were held outside of the temple. I think I was here when he may have spoken briefly in the temple, but I'm trying to figure out I didn't get the impression that we were supposed to throw anything away that Srila Prabhupada had established, even the cooking. I mean, because it has its place. And it will no doubt always have its place. I thought what he was saying was make the adjustments when necessary, but what is that saying? You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are some things that are truly the essence of Krishna consciousness, and they are to remain that, period. I don't think I'll ever stop wearing tilak. Now, I may not wear it everywhere, and if I don't wear the visible tilak, I'll wear water tilak, but there are things that ground me in Krishna consciousness, the scriptures, the chanting, the reading, the certain ways that I dress. Yes, as Maturnath Prabhu was saying, when I come to the temple, I'm in full form, you know, on Sunday. I need to wear the proper clothing because it keeps me in the mood. It does. Now, I found that sometimes if I go different places, people are uncomfortable seeing me in a sari, but that's not my issue. That's theirs.
You look like a devotee. You feel like a devotee.
You feel, yes. There are some things that should not be thrown away. I'm hoping that's not what that stood for, because everything has a purpose. Everything that Srila Prabhupada did worked, and our instructions are to follow Guru Parampara. Now, some people may be able to follow it a little bit better than others, but what worked is what you keep. And as I said, every 10 years or every year something is changing. Yes, it's okay to make an adjustment here or there, but don't throw away the essence of it. Don't throw away the essence of it. So that's my thinking. Anyone else have any comments before we end? I know we've gone way over, but it was worth it. I appreciate everyone's attendance here. I am my most respectful obeisances to my Gurudev, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Srila Prabhupada, and Radhakala Chandi Dham, and to all the assembled devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Pramananda, Haribo, Hare Krishna.